Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The government has outlined a five-stage plan to gradually reopen businesses and schools under strict conditions. The European Commission approves up to 1 billion crowns in support for Czech SMEs making medical and protective gear, and Prague has officially begun the project to reconstruct the lower part of Wenceslas Square. The Czech government on Wednesday presented details of its plan to gradually lift anti-coronavirus restrictions on some businesses and to open educational facilities in five stages from April the 20th through June the 8th. In the first phase, farmers' markets, hardware stores, and similar small craft businesses will be among the first allowed to reopen under strict hygienic conditions. Other types should follow suit from week to week. Shops of up to 1,000 square meters, driving schools and gyms, for example, can reopen as of May the 12th. Restaurants and cafes serving in outdoor gardens, museums, galleries, and hairdressers as of May the 25th. The last phase concerns stores and shopping malls, hotels, and other accommodation establishments, as well as theaters and castles. As for schools, initially students in the final year of university should be able to access libraries in small groups and consult their teachers at their faculties. By mid-May, secondary school students nearing graduation should also be able to meet teachers to prepare for exams. As for primary schools, the number of students could be limited to 15 per class and reopen as of May the 25th. For now, opening nursery schools has been left to the discretion of local authorities. In all cases, the plan depends on the course of the epidemic and may be frozen or reviewed depending on circumstances. The European Commission has approved support for Czech SMEs producing medical and protective equipment used to combat the spread of coronavirus. The total amount of aid can reach up to 1 billion crowns. The Czech Republic is expected to allocate 300 million crowns to companies in the first phase of the program. Support under a Ministry of Industry and Trade program should finance up to half of the production costs in direct grants to SMEs. The number of coronavirus cases in the Czech Republic will likely rise to 10,000 by the end of April, according to a cumulative model developed by the Institute of Health Information and Statistics. As of Wednesday morning, the number of confirmed cases stood at 6,151, according to the Ministry of Health. To date, 163 people have died from COVID-19, while 776 people have recovered from the illness. The Czech government will withdraw a complaint lodged with the European Court of Justice over subsidies for Agrofert, a conglomerate founded by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš that is central to an EU investigation into his possible conflict of interest. A Ministry of Agriculture spokesman said the February complaint is now moot since the European Commission annulled its decision to suspend payments to Agrofert. However, the European Commission has made a new related decision, so the Ministry will likely suggest the Cabinet file a new suit in response. Prague City representatives and contractors laid a ceremonial foundation stone at the lower part of Wenceslas Square on Wednesday, as part of a 330 million crown reconstruction due for completion by the end of December 2021. Prague's mayor says the project aims to expand the pedestrian space and install more greenery and benches, among other things. On Thursday, the lower part of Wenceslas Square will be fenced off, with work set to fully begin on April the 20th. One of five rare eastern black rhinos that the Dvor Králové Zoo sent to the Central African state of Rwanda last summer has died. The rhinos were relocated to the national park in eastern Rwanda as part of an international effort to restore the critically endangered subspecies. Dvor Králové Zoo is also spearheading an international effort to save the northern white rhino, which is on the brink of extinction. And finally, the weather. Thursday should be cloudy and fairly cool, with daytime highs ranging from 13 to 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the government announces a detailed plan under which shops and other businesses can gradually reopen. How will Prague's restaurant scene look after the coronavirus crisis? And a Czech artisan takes gold at the World Marmalade Awards. All that's coming up in today's programme. Following a month of tight restrictions aimed at curbing the COVID-19 epidemic, the Czech government has announced a comprehensive plan under which it will gradually restore business and service sector activity. This will take place over five stages, culminating with the reopening of hotels, restaurants and shopping malls in June. Tom McEncroe reports.
Restaurants, almost all shops and many other facilities in the Czech Republic have been closed for just over a month as part of the government efforts to curb the spread of COVID-19. With infection rates still relatively low in this country, growing calls for a timetable under which things would get back to normal were met on Tuesday when the government announced a detailed plan. Industry and Trade Minister Karel Havlíček detailed some of the steps that Czechs can expect.
We have divided business activity groups into five time slots. From April 20th, all crafts facilities, car dealerships and farmers' markets can reopen. Professional sportsmen will be allowed to continue in sporting activities, and weddings attended by up to 10 individuals will be allowed.
The week after that, starting April 27th, shops up to 200 square metres that are not located in large shopping centres will be allowed to open. From May 11th, shops up to 1,000 square metres outside of large shopping malls will also get the green light to reopen. So will certain services such as drink driving schools and fitness centres, although changing rooms and shower usage in those is not allowed. Late May and early June will then see the final stages of the government plan, said Minister Havlíček.
From May 25th, outdoor services in restaurants and cafes, as well as hairdressers, pedicures and various similar cosmetic services will be allowed to open. This lifting of restrictions also accounts for museums, galleries and zoos, the latter with closed pavilions. 2 weeks after that, from June 8th, although more may be added depending on how things develop, indoor restaurant spaces will be allowed to open too, as well as shopping malls over the size of 5,000 square metres and hotels. Furthermore, non-licensed taxi services and tattoo parlours will be allowed to operate again. Finally, this date also includes the opening of castles, theatres and other cultural activities, although under clearly specified conditions.
Industry and Trade Minister Havlíček stressed that while this is the government's timeline, it does reserve the right to adjust dates, depending on further developments relating to the coronavirus spread. Meanwhile, Education Minister Robert Plaga said that school activity will be reinstated ahead of the summer holidays, but only partly. Entrance and final exams will go ahead, but no sooner than June. Final year university students are likely to see school education first, but lessons will take place in groups of no larger than five. This group could be followed from May 11th by high school and elementary school students, again only final years. Some first year level elementary school students could begin attending classroom hours from May 25th in groups no larger than 15. And since Tuesday, Czechs are also allowed to travel abroad under special circumstances such as business trips, medical treatment and exceptional family reasons.
Thank you for that report, Tom McEncroe. Restaurants in the Czech Republic, which have been shut for a month, will be allowed to reopen in June. However, many are already struggling. And in recent days, one well-known Prague eatery said it had closed for good. How the city's dining scene is likely to look after the coronavirus crisis is one of the things I discussed with Jan Valenta of the food tour company Taste of Prague.
I think the first 2 weeks, many restaurants just closed down. They saw it as a long vacation because I get it, it's difficult to plan ahead if you don't have any particular timeline and you're shooting at a moving target, really. But I think that 2-3 weeks into the quarantine, they realize that this is not a long vacation, this is an existential threat, and they just have to adjust to the reality of it. So They have, I would just say, just about a week or 2 weeks ago, I think we saw a rise of restaurants listed on, you know, these delivery services and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that it's been only changing recently.
Well, one well-known restaurant, Cooking, which is part of the Ambienta group, it has already announced that it's closing down for good. Do you expect we'll see a lot of this kind of thing?
Yesterday, the government has announced that restaurants would not open fully until mid-June, roughly. And I think we may see a few insolvencies in the meantime, yes. The problem is that many restaurants in Prague are fairly conservative, and I think they have yet to come to grips with the fact that they have to change the concept completely to actually adjust to the new reality.
It could be said that many restaurants in the city are quite average, and they seem to exist because of tourists who perhaps are unaware that there are better places to go. Do you have any sense that Prague restaurants have had a kind of easy ride up to now?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, if you look at many restaurants, they have relied, so they've come to rely on tourism. And I think that, you know, while restaurants may reopen in June, who knows when the borders will actually reopen and when the actual tourists will come back. So, yes, I think that many restaurants will have to, readjust the focus on the local audience. And I'm afraid the local audience may not be as forgiving as many tourists that have, that visited Prague.
Well, as you say, Prague is without tourists and likely to be so for a very long time. What kind of, this is hard to say, of course, we're looking into the future, but what kind of dining landscape can we expect in Prague when this is all over, do you think?
I think that delivery will become a bigger part of the dining, landscape, as you say, than it was before. And I think that we will see more, smart casual restaurants, because the fine dining, let's be honest here, the fine dining in Prague did rely on tourism quite a bit, the Michelin stars and, other fine dining restaurants. So I think we will see a refocus of these restaurants more into the local audience, meaning, how would I put it, a bit more budget conscious foods and, more casual dining rather than fine dining.
I've also got a practical question, Jan. How do you expect that operators of restaurants will get around the compulsory face mask requirement?
I have no idea. The only thing I can think of is maybe some physical barriers between the tables. I mean, you can't eat with a face mask on. That is just a simple fact. So we'll see how they go around it.
And my final question, Jan, what does this whole terrible time, what does it mean for your business, Taste of Prague?
We have come from a full calendar in spring to absolutely nothing. So right now we can't operate the way we used to. When I say that many restaurants are focused on tourism, maybe rely on tourism too much, I mean, the same thing holds true for us. We have relied on tourism. We have to refocus on the local audience too. Have to, come up with something to offer to maybe the audience that we may have been speaking to all this time, but locals. And I must say that the whole tourism industry in Prague has to, I think, rethink the strategy. What I found very interesting was that while restaurants were gaining, sympathy from the local audience, in terms of like, oh, we have to support local restaurants, local, suppliers and whatnot, tourism has not received any of such sympathy at all. It shows how distant the whole tourism industry was from the locals and maybe how bad the reputation of tourism in Prague in general was before the lockdown.
And I was speaking there to Jan Valenta of Taste of Prague. And staying with food, if your experience with marmalade is limited to the traditional breakfast staples, then you're missing out on an exciting culinary experience. Today, marmalade makers from around the world are creating sophisticated recipes that have elevated the once simple preserve from your grandma's pantry to a new level to be used on roast meat or fish, as Daniela Lazareva has been finding out.
The annual World Marmalade Awards, held at Delmaine Mansion in Cumbria, annually attract artisan marmalade makers and enthusiasts from around the world. This year, the organisers received over 3,000 entries from 43 countries. Jane Hassel-McCosh, who founded the awards in 2005, explains what led her to organise an event celebrating the tradition of marmalade making.
I wanted to preserve the heritage of the marmalade making and to encourage home producers to have an education angle to it with all the children that take part. And I also wanted to raise money for charity, but perhaps most importantly, I wanted to create a marmalade community, and it suddenly has become a global community.
The idea took off beyond Jane's wildest dreams, inspiring people from around the world to get involved, both gourmets with centuries-old family recipes and inventive fans who simply decided to give it a go. Not surprisingly, the event has appealed to people in the Czech Republic, where home marmalade making has a long tradition and flourished during the communist years, when Czechs put their inventiveness and traditions to good use to make up for the lack of goods in the shops. As a result, Czechs not only take part in the annual competition, but manage to collect quite a few awards as well. Jan Baer from Prague made three different kinds of marmalade in his kitchen last winter and decided to send a few samples just for the fun of it. His blood orange marmalade picked up a bronze award.
Když jsem šel někdy v prosinci nakupovat ovoce kvůli marmeládě, tak měli nádherné, ale opravdu nádherné červené pomeranče. Takže jsem neodolal a vyzkoušel jsem udělat i marmeládu z červených pomerančů. Já jsem ji jemně zpestřil tu chuť citrusů o čili, čerstvé čili, které jsem nakrájel na opravdu mikrokousíčky. A je zajímavá tím, že se nemusí dát jenom na chleba. Ona se výborně hodí i jako třeba k pečenému masu.
Jane Hassel-McCosh says it would be a pity to eat these delicious marmalades only in the traditional way, and that experimenting with them brings surprisingly delicious and unexpected combinations.
I eat sausages with my marmalade, which are delicious, or a bacon bap with a marmalade in it is delicious. I also can recommend marmalade with porridge. Marmalade with fish is extraordinarily good. You can really take it to any level you want because the taste, the complex taste of marmalade is so sophisticated, it actually can flatter and combine with so many other foods. It's a really exciting preserve.
The Artisan Awards promote small-scale marmalade makers using the open pan method. Judged by an esteemed panel, these prestigious awards put marmalade makers on the map, and winners can display their gold, silver or bronze award roundel on their jars, a huge marketing gift that declares their marmalade to be one of the best quality preserves in the world. Blanka Milfajtová is a well-known name in the Czech Republic. She started offering her homemade jams in her coffee house in the Šumava Mountains 10 years ago, and demand for them was such that in 2012 she set up a mini manufacturer with two employees who made jams, marmalades and syrups from scratch as they were made for centuries, processing mainly regional fruit of the highest quality from neighbouring farms, using spices, mountain honey and herbs. She was soon collecting awards the world over. Her lemon marmalade won double gold at the Dalmain Marmalade World Awards in 2013 and was among the selected marmalades sold at Fortnum and Mason, from where it found its way to the British royal table. A year later, the Czech marmalade queen embarked on a marmalade expedition, making marmalade from local produce in 35 countries around the world. Blanka made marmalade in San Marino, Sicily, Luxembourg, Spain and Morocco, demonstrating her art to the public and creating new recipes along the way. She says it was an exciting time and a huge inspiration.
Třeba když jsme byli na souostroví Trinidad a Tobago, tak jsem do skleničky dala dokonale zralou papáju, nejpálivější škorpionní chili papričku na světě a absolutní lahůdka jako ostrá břitva. No, a to všechno jsem dochutila jemnou příchutí termitů, které jsme si předtím pochytali v deštném pralese.
This year, Blanka won the Gold Artisan Award for her lemon, pear and Tahitian vanilla. Jane Hassel-McCosh says that each country and region brings a special flavour and input to the competition.
In our competition, the thing that we find most interesting is how clever people are with new combinations and flavours. We have now started a marmalade festival in Japan, and I would rather like to start one in the Czech Republic. And in Japan, there are so many different kinds of citrus fruit that we have never heard of, which are creating a whole new raft of marmalades that we are now enjoying in the UK.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the diplomas are being sent out to the winners by post this year, and the organisers have had to cancel the 2020 Marmalade Festival. But they say they are determined to hold a marmalade celebration later in the year. Moreover, they're proud of the fact that despite the challenging circumstances, the 2020 Marmalade Awards have raised thousands of pounds for hospice at home and palliative care charities around the world. Jane says she's looking forward to a time when the coronavirus pandemic will be over and she will be able to welcome visitors in Dalmain once again.
We would like to invite all the people from the Czech Republic to come and visit us once these borders are open again and this terrible time is finished. We would like people to come to Dalmain and see our house, which is open to the public. There's a lovely shop, there's a tea room and a very, very beautiful garden, which at this moment is looking at its very best. And we also have a marmalade museum where you will be able to see one of the people who had won the double gold marmalade award, Blanka Milfay, who comes from the Czech Republic, who won at the very beginning of our competition and is now doing so well in your country.
That report by Daniela Lazareva brings us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening and speak to you very soon.